There you go. That's the start. My
is that
sneeze.
The intro?
My sneeze is the
this
introduction.
This guy is such a waste man, you know.
Talk Dog over podcast.
Talk over business.
Back in the building.
We do need an official intro. We'll make one up one day.
That was it. My sneeze is just going to be replicated every week.
I feel like the cool thing to do is to just not have an intro though, innit? You just start.
You just jump in now. Everyone knows.
We just jump in. Or we go.
Yeah, use that one.
Right, what was that?
That was the magic drip.
That sounded drip. Like that sounded like Sonic when he's trying to catch air, yo. You know when he starts running out of air.
Bro, I'm a grown man. I don't watch Sonic.
Bro, we're old enough to know what we're old enough to be playing the original Sonic, bro.
Yeah, do you know what? I never had a games console. Hang on, you need to put like violin music behind me now.
Don't double out a sad childhood, you know.
I never had a games console. I wasn't allowed one, actually. No. And was it? Well, I wasn't. Maybe I wasn't allowed one. Maybe you just didn't have one. I don't know. But yeah, all my closest friends did. And this is the reason No. Listen, this actually gets quite deep. I have a deep-rooted fucking hatred for Nintendo. Yeah, can I tell you why?
What, the original Nintendo just with the fucking anything, cartridges that are like 15 foot wide?
The SNES. Anything Nintendo related, yeah? Fuck Mario, fuck Sonic. I think Sonic was Sega, it wasn't even Nintendo. But
that sounded like
you were
about to
well.
Do a hit 'em up then. Fuck Sega.
So I fucked your bitch. Yeah, Nintendo, man, I hate them. And the reason is because it's not even their fault. I didn't have a games console. All my closest friends did. So I'd go around to their house when I was a kid. Oh. And because they're on their games consoles all the time, they're sick at it. Oh yeah, fuck Mortal Kombat as well. Fucking shit game. And yeah, they're all just sick at it. And then I'm going around there. I don't even know what buttons to push. I don't know how to play these games.
So you just get absolutely slapped up.
Absolutely rinsed me every time. What's the other one? GoldenEye.
GoldenEye.
What a shit game.
No, GoldenEye was lit. The guy with the golden gun.
Yeah, everyone's good. I'm glad it was lit for everyone else's childhood, but I sucked at it.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I was a FIFA guy, but we're not here to talk about computer games.
It's not about my childhood therapy.
We're not here to talk about how Double was mentally scarred as a child because he wasn't allowed to play computer games,
which opened a whole can of worms within the first 2 minutes.
Oh gosh. And
now I'm gonna cry. You highlighted a sick tweet from our friend CJ Beats this week.
He's also been on the pod as well, if you want to go back and listen to that. He was on it a long time. It feels like a long time ago. Shit.
It was a decade ago, brothers.
Shout out CJ Beats, by the way. He's probably one of the most professional and, I don't know, man, most highly respected DJs in the scene, I would say.
Yeah, like, but also like one of the best.
And sick DJ as well.
He's not just one of the most respected. Like, he's one of the best.
Yeah, real talk, real talk.
He might be the second best DJ in the country, you know.
After me, yeah, and then double third. Ah, took it away from him before he got to throw it in there. You see that? This guy thinks I'm stupid, you know. I'm onto him now.
I'm trying to be slick.
This guy. Nah, do you know what it was, yeah? He posted a tweet the other day that just made me think because it was just super relatable. Can I find the tweet, actually?
Well, no.
I can't find the exact tweet, but I wrote it down. He basically said something like, along the lines of, he was talking about warming up in a club and how it takes him like 45 minutes to an hour to like really get warm. And for like, he basically said that his first 45 minutes are like very questionable, which is probably not true. When he says hella questionable, it's probably like a super high caliber. Do you know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? It's CJ Beats.
Yeah, I imagine CJ Beats' bad day.
Yeah,
it's probably
day is
better than
best day.
It's better than some of their best days. Yeah, it's an interesting one, actually, because, like...
Can't describe it, man, actually. I was going to say it's like riding a bike, but it's not, because when you ride a bike, you get back on and you can normally ride it straight away, innit? But it's like, you've got to, like, loosen... I feel like you've got to, like, loosen the hands up a little bit. Like, sometimes you go into work feeling a bit stiff, pause. And then you just got to kind of, like, shake it off a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Like, I can't really put my finger on it, but I can just relate to what he was saying because I've had so many times where I go in and like my brain's not engaged in like my Serato properly, or I've come into work, I've got other shit out of the back of my brain, and I'm just trying
That's
to
what
like,
it is for
I'm
me.
Trying to
it's
align
not,
myself.
It's not a physical thing for me. It's proper mental, like it's an actual mental thing. Like, am I in the zone? There's some, it's weird because like, depending on the scenario, depends on how long it takes for me to warm up. If I'm doing a guest set somewhere and I know I've only got an hour,
I'm jumping in. That warm up that you feel awkward, it needs to be 5 minutes max.
But that's why also, it's very, very important. Two things are very important about that. It's very important to be in the club for quite a while before your set begins. But also, no, I mean, it is.
I'm laughing because I'm so, for residencies, I'm rolling up, bro, at 5-2. if it's a residency I'm regular and I'm there.
Yeah, no. I'm talking about guest sets. I'm talking about when you've been booked and you're coming on at like 1 or 2 in the morning. Mm-hmm. Like some people literally will turn up to the club at 5 to 1, 5 minutes before their set. But I like to get there and hold a little vibe before I go on and just 100%. Soak in the room and see what people are feeling. So that's the first important factor. The second important factor is how good the warm-up DJ is. Mm-hmm. Because they really do, like, I've said it a million times, I don't repeat songs, apart from Last. I don't repeat songs. Or I try extremely hard to not repeat songs.
No, you can't repeat a song. That's a violation, man. Even playing Last, bro. Come on.
No, Last can get run twice.
No song, in my opinion, can get run twice in a night. Like, if the warm-up's playing songs, I'm mentally removing that. If it's in my set, my brain, like, programs that and takes it out.
Like, yeah, yeah, thing, exactly.
Like,
the same.
I've got like some automatic memory, like that, like, just remembers what the DJ is like.
Yeah, mine's called the fuck sake. So like, if a warm up DJ plays a song that I was gonna play, in my head I'm like, oh fuck's sake.
You could be one of them DJs that sends a list of songs in that the DJ can't play before you. You could be that guy.
I don't want to out someone, but actually I know someone who does.
And oh, bro, that's not. There's a lot of DJs that do that, yo. Like, it's mad.
Yeah, I got asked, you know, when I did some of the tours last year and some of the club shows and stuff, well, actually, it happened in Australia as well. One of the promoters, when I was booked for a club set, they messaged me and they were like, yeah, do you have your list of songs that the warm-up can't play? And I was like, what? And he was like, yeah, can you send over the songs that the warm-up DJ can't
play?
You are
now part of that crew that gets to bully the warm-up. Basically.
I made it. I just decided to be a prick and just send like as many songs as I could think of.
Oh my day.
No, I'm joking. Right, no hip hop, no R&B, no dancehall, no Afrobeats.
That's
no
what
reggae,
Westwood does, yo.
No reggaeton.
I'm gonna say his name because he's not very liked at the minute, yo. But Westwood does that shit, yo, regular.
I didn't know Westwood did it. I've told the story before, haven't I, about when Westwood came on and I was playing and he came on. I was playing a warm-up. It wasn't even a big song. Said, yo, dog, make sure you leave that one for me.
I said, yo, dog.
And it was like the Sean Paul Keisha Cole song in my warm-up. And he's like, yeah, leave that one for me, dog. Like, what?
Mad.
And then he had a go at me for rinsing the set. Anyway, we're digressing, going off on a crazy tangent. But yeah, so... If I'm doing a guest set, my warm up is coming in and listening to the warm up DJ set the tone.
That's imperative, but, man.
Yeah, 100%. But it can be a bit techie if they're not the greatest in terms of, you know, the excitable ones that are like, right, they need to play the bangers, and the ones that really speed everything up 15 minutes before you come on, and suddenly they're going super set, blasting through all of the bangers. And that's where, like, it does become a bit challenging. So they're the two important
I feel like when that happens, you can instantly know that they're a new DJ. I know some bigger DJs can do that, but I feel like that's something that is, like, more when you're trying to earn your stripes, innit? And I don't even know if they realize they're even burning
the DJ yet,
because I don't think they know that at that point, and it's more of a trying to impress the promoter or... impress the next DJ kind of thing, where obviously for us now, when we do a warm up, we know it's about building it right and passing on the baton. I mean, it's like a relay, you know what I'm saying?
I don't feel that mentality exists with a lot of the new generation of DJs though.
Yeah.
Like they're seeing, if you go to us, like quite often, if you go to an event where there's like 4, maybe 5 DJs booked and the early sets are the younger, less experienced DJs. Mm-hmm. And it's been like this for years, to be honest, but they blast through bangers. You're coming into the venue at 11 p.m. and hear the biggest song.
Oh my god.
The biggest song of the moment's getting run at 11 p.m. But one thing I've never actually figured out, and I guess it's gonna change case by case, but like, is it a sabotage thing? Is it like, right, cool, you know what? This guy is coming in, especially with like, you know, when a guest DJ comes into a residence spot. And yeah, sometimes,
bro,
sometimes, you know, the residents get a little bit territorial and they're a bit insecure maybe about this guest DJ about to go and ling down their club. So they're like, you know what? I want to play all the bangers so that people see me playing the bangers. And then they rinse out the bangers for the last 15 minutes before the guests come.
Do you know what? Yeah.
The other thing is, or it could be that maybe the guest DJ is someone they look up to, and they're like, you know what? I want to do something really amazing here, and I want to impress this guy because he stood next to me in the booth. He's getting ready to come on. I want to show him what I can do. I want to show him that I can light up the crowd, and it like almost in a try and impress them sort of.
Yeah, way. But that's when it goes back to that thing of did they know? Because if they did, they would know that that is not how you impress their headline DJ when you're warming up, by rinsing rhythm. Like, and in regards to like, you should have the approach of, that DJ is going to respect you 10 times more if you just set it up right for them. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it goes down to that building relationships with other DJs. Like, if a headline's coming in and you're the resident, like, do you know what I'm saying? You want to grab a good relationship with the DJs that are coming through your spot, in my opinion.
Yeah.
So if you're trying to bun them, but then again, it's whether that specific DJ in that moment knows that that's the right thing to do, in it. And we speak about this a lot. Like, it's up to people like us and the elders to like
guide them.
Exactly. Do you know what I'm saying? A little assistance in there.
Yeah.
Because not everybody knows them things. But yeah, I hear you, man. I hear you. I've been burnt bare times over the years.
Oh, yeah, facts. But you know what it is? It is down to more experienced DJs just to give them advice. Mm-hmm. And even like while they're on set, just give them the advice there and then. Just quietly, so it's not embarrassing. Just lean over and just say, look, if you don't stop playing all the biggest tunes, I'm going to fucking destroy your laptop, you little
man
prick.
Man said quiet. Man said whisper it quietly so you don't embarrass him, you know.
Whisper it quietly so they're not embarrassed. Yeah, yeah. If you don't stop doing this, I'm going to smash your equipment to pieces.
Me and Double have on smoke today, by the way.
Yeah, I'm just joking, by the way. I'm not actually this aggressive in real life. What happened was I downed a coffee right before the pod started. Anyway, back on to... Yeah, Stylus is doing it right now. Yep. Warm-ups.
CJ Street, man.
It's funny because we actually mentioned in another episode recently, like, you know, the late starters when you are doing a 4-hour warm-up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, my warm-up energy really does also come from the crowd.
Okay.
Like, if it's not such a busy club, if I'm doing a guest set and it's not that busy, that does take me longer to warm up. But if I'm doing a guest set and I'm jumping on and the crowd are bouncing because the warm-up guy has done his proper job and it's just good vibes, I can generally just go straight in from the top and just mm-hmm. smack it out. But yeah, if it's a longer night, if I'm doing one of my residencies, then yeah, probably the first hour is just stretching my legs and...
Stretching your arms, clicking your fingers.
Yeah, that's it.
We spoke about this the other day, actually. What do you do, bruv, if you book for a headline set, but you get there and the club's not ready?
What's happened in the past is the promoters pushed the set back.
Yeah, you got to hold it a little bit. We've definitely done that at Compound before. Like, when... Bruv, you know what it's like, yeah? Man turn up to the shubs, like, this could be a topic in itself. Why do people come out so late now? Brother, you give them a last entry. You give them a last entry. Man are coming 1 minute before last entry. Why you want to be out for the last 2 hours of the night, yo?
Yeah, it is weird. It is weird.
Coming on time. This is when we push Compound, we say to people, like, if you want the full experience, you got to come from the start.
Yeah.
And, like, come on the journey with us, man. But then man roll up at 5 to the doors being closed. And then the lights come on 2 hours later. Oh, it's over already. Bro, we've been on for 7 hours. Just got here 40 minutes ago, G.
We started at 8 p.m, bro.
That's what I'm saying. And they're looking at you like, girl.
Yeah. You know what? It's funny, actually, because if you're a real music fan, like an actual real proper fan of music, you should get to the club early. Because if it's a good, like when I'm doing these warm-ups and that, I'm drawing for the old tunes. I'm drawing for like stuff that wouldn't work when the club's packed out, but proper rhythms.
You hear the better music earlier on, in my opinion. You can hear the, obviously, you're going to get the bangers and them songs that you know, but you're going to hear the real Selecchios.
The proper,
earlier on, man.
Yeah, the starter. It's like going to a restaurant and you're not having a starter. You're just going straight in.
I was going
the main
straight
meal.
For the fillet steak and missing out all the finger food, bro. For like, wagwan.
Finger food.
You know what I'm saying? The nibbles and that. Like, the vol-au-vents. No, Joe, I don't. You think I've ever eaten a vol-au-vent, bro? Man's from Old Trafford.
I don't even know what a vol-au-vent is, bro.
I don't. It just sounded good, didn't it?
Get Martin Too Smooth on the phone.
Martin will definitely know what a vol-au-vent is. He's at loads of them. He's going to kill us when he listens to this episode.
Sorry, Martin.
If he listens. He's too busy to listen to this shit now. Bloody hell. We need to get him back on. But yeah, anyway.
So yeah, warm-ups. It varies. It is. There's many different factors. But generally, I'm so sick that I don't have to warm up.
We're not serious today, man.
I know, I'm sorry.
We're meant to be talking about serious stuff today, as are you?
This
is not going to go well, is it? I'm actually worried.
Not. Oh, it's going to go downhill very, very quickly.
You started it, bro.
I know.
This is why it's called the talkover, guys, yeah? Because we've actually had some new listeners check in this week, so people are...
Just quickly out loud for people that didn't see the tweet and the Instagram post. Just read out the stats that you told me on the phone.
I can't even load it up. Have you got your phone on you there?
I've got
something on my phone screen that I can't turn off.
Oh, I told you, man. Stop watching porn when we're recording, bro.
Bro, I'm trying to buy United tickets.
Is that what you're doing? Yeah.
Bro, I've been in a queue for about 7 hours.
Fuck's sake.
I know.
All right, here it is. Excuse me. Guys, it's amazing news, by the way. And Stylus found it out because he's the guy that looks at all the stats and stuff.
Yeah.
And yeah, big shout out to everyone listening from outside the UK, because we've already claimed a spot as the UK's number one DJ podcast, which we absolutely love. But it gets so much better. I think this is amazing. And I didn't expect this either. We are currently ranked number one in Finland. Big up Finland. For music commentary related podcasts on Apple. We're also top 100 in the UK music podcasts, and we're ranking in Australia, Canada, Kenya, and the USA. Like, that's big
mad,
for us, man.
I don't really check the stats too deep like that on the charts yet while we're still building it, but I got an email
that is
making
so
it down.
Sick.
So I thought I'd go and have a little look. So yeah, shout out the international crew, man. Like, it's
big up Finland as well, making us number one in Finland.
Yeah, and we're about to put our foot down on it proper. Like, we've had a break. You know what I mean? Look at the consistency, bro.
Yes. We've been doing this like every week. The whole year. Every week for the whole year.
I know, we've been here all of 2023, man.
The whole of this year.
Oh my God.
So anyway, this is a topic here that I've wanted to speak about for the longest time. Funnily enough, if I remember rightly, we actually had an episode with this topic planned for the same week that lockdown was initiated. So, the week after lockdown was initiated or something during pandemic. Yep. So, like, what's mad is we were actually going to sit down and talk about this, but then obviously DJing became illegal and the topics just went on a whole...
What a time to be alive, yo.
What a time. So yeah, it was illegal to be a DJ. And so we just didn't actually do this topic and it went the other direction. And now obviously coming out the back of pandemic,
wow.
Everything's changed. Like, a lot of things are very, very different. So we've kind of replanned it and sort of adjusted the conversation slightly. But what we're going to be talking about today is how much should DJs be charging?
Mm-hmm. It's a techie one.
It is a very techie one.
I didn't really want to, I'll be honest, it wasn't something I was fully ready to cover because there's so many factors and...
There is like, so many variables.
There is so many variables and factors to this. And I was like, we really needed to be prepared. I'm not prepared, but... But this is what podcasts are all about, mate.
Exactly. So, and it's topical because I swear, like, the tax return deadline's coming up next week as well. So,
bro, do you know what's crazy?
It's all topical.
I have literally just got a text from the tax man, bro.
Mad.
You need to complete your tax return. I've fucking done it.
Just text back.
Leave me alone, cuz.
Text back, S-Y-M. That's who you have to text them back. But yeah, so I think today's one, like, is targeted mainly at resident DJs, for example, and guys doing regular gigs or like pop-up gigs at clubs as opposed to guest DJs. Because in terms of the guest DJ thing, like, everybody has their own different fee. Do you know what I mean? So, like, in terms of, like, the resident side of things, it's something I've noticed, yeah. When I first started DJing and, like, as a brand new DJ, so I'm doing the first hour of the club, one thing I noticed was there was two or three DJs on the night and they were all getting paid well. They're all getting paid like £300-£400. Do you know what I mean?
What?
The clubs, yeah, trust me. The club's budget for DJs seemed to be a lot higher back then. And something that's happened over the last decade is it just seems to have declined. Like, it's proper dropped off. I think, like, when I think about it, I think the technology, as good as it is for us, has done this. Like, the fact that, and I mean, I don't know if I'm criticizing it or not, but the fact that you can just buy a controller, download Serato, rip 100 songs off YouTube, and now 100%. You're a DJ. Now you're a DJ. I've got a controller. I've got the songs off YouTube. Serato's plugged in, and now I am a DJ. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, that has made it so that the skill set is not essential anymore. I feel like in the past, when it was like vinyl days, pre-digital DJing,
it was like it was a special skill, innit?
Yeah, 100%.
It was definitely a specialty thing. Whereas, like you 100%. Just said, now the entry level now is so low because it's so more accessible. Whereas back then, you couldn't really just be like, your mum wants to be a DJ, buy a controller and jump in, which you get a lot of now. Like, you really had to be about it, bruv. Like,
Yeah.
So, like 100. You say, the fees were a little bit higher.
Not to forget, though, the other thing is, like, the overheads back then were higher.
Yeah, oh, yeah, 100%.
Pre-digital DJing, you had to go and buy the vinyl. All of my DJ money and more went on buying vinyl for next week's set. Same. I was not, like, this is when I was 18 years old, yeah. I'm not making profit from DJing. Like, I was getting paid shit anyway. But I wasn't making profit because I'm spending my DJ money on new music for next week. Because it wasn't 100%. A download thing. It was a, what vinyl have you got in the club? Do you know what I mean?
No, it's true.
So there is that as well. Like, the fact that you had to buy the music. Whereas nowadays, very few DJs pay anything for the music.
What a... I don't think people realize, like, if you DJ now and you weren't about back then you've got nothing to compare it to. But brother, these men are so lucky now.
Yeah,
like it's we've said it before. It's easy to really step into it. So it's kind of, I don't know whether that's one of the main focal reasons why the prices have dropped. But there's just an abundance of DJs in it, so it's not as if they're ever going to struggle getting a good one.
Yeah, I mean,
getting hold of a DJ in general. Like, brother, we're in a DJ group, man. Someone posts a gig in there, it's gone in 0.2 seconds.
Well, this, like, is the thing.
There is millions of us now.
So it's supply and demand, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Like, literally, it is supply and demand. There is way more DJs than there are clubs.
Mm-hmm.
So naturally, it's a very competitive market. In a competitive market, prices go down.
Mm-hmm.
But what I don't understand is how it's gone down to the level that it has. And again, I'm talking like, I'm not talking about guest DJ sets and stuff. I'm talking about resident sets.
Yeah,
when clubs, even more recently, clubs have reached out to me and been like, oh yeah, we'd love to get you in weekly, da 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 da. And the amount they have offered has been so low. I'm thinking, like, does this even cover my travel? Do you know what I mean? If it's somewhere in the Midlands and I'm driving, does this even cover fuel?
Yeah,
this
100%.
Is wild. Mm-hmm. And it's like their club budget, their budget for DJing seems to be...
I think part of the problem is that, bro. It's the budgeting. So these venues, they put DJs at the bottom of the ladder sometimes. Not all venues. When you find venues that respect it and they know, like, which they're out there, But the venues that don't really respect the DJ like that definitely outweighs the ones that do. And you get put at the bottom and about, oh, we've only got this X amount to look after the DJ. Brother, we are the party.
Yeah.
We should, like, that's part of the problem. I feel like DJs need to be prioritized way more. Like,
100%. You know what else it is, though? I think the lack of communication between DJs about fees, mm-hmm. like, also leads to it. So, like, just for example, I'm not entirely sure this is legal, but if all DJs got together and just said, right, okay, you know what? The minimum we are charging for a night's residency, the absolute minimum anyone's charging for a full night in a club is £500, mm-hmm. right? That's not breaking the bank for the club, but just saying. And also, the average resident for a full night is not making £500.
Oh, right my now. God.
But if all DJs
that's the top end.
If everyone was like, okay, cool, I will not accept a residence job for less than £5 for the night, where are the clubs going to get their DJs from? Mm-hmm. So now they have to pay £500 for the resident DJ. And then it just becomes standard across the board. Like, although...
That's never like going to happen, not, man.
No, it's not. Because there will be someone who's like, actually...
Somebody,
you know,
will take the piece, bro.
Like, works quiet. So you know what? I'll do it for 400. And then you've got someone else who's like, you know what? I haven't got any residencies. I'll do it for 300.
Yep.
And then you've got the guy who's like...
Oh, you got the guy who has the 9-to-5 and says, I'll do it for one. I already make £700 a week from my day job.
This is it. I work during the week. I live 5 minutes away from the club. You know what? I won't do it for 300. I'll do it for 120. I do the whole night. I just want to be in there. Like, this is the mad thing. It's like...
It turns it into a gigantic, like, cesspit of negotiation because there's so many variations of people that are DJing. Have jobs, that have kids, that have different priorities, that have got money coming from elsewhere, or already got money and it's not a money thing for them. Or like it's a never ending thing. But then you have the people that depend on DJing, have always wanted to do DJing and have come through that way, but maybe aren't as confident when it comes to talking about finances and liaising with venues, bro, because that can be quite daunting.
It
was something I struggled with earlier in my career, was having them conversations about money and figuring out where your worth is and what your worth is and what you can ask and what you can demand. Like, I feel like that stuff is where a lot of people will struggle with them conversations and will just take what is given to them. Do you know what I'm saying?
So let me ask you a question. Do you think for someone starting out now, not like a young, fresh-faced 18-year-old just bought his own controller, do you think DJing is a solid career path? For, and I'm not talking about like, okay, maybe he makes it, maybe he becomes the superstar DJ. I'm talking about average across the board. Do you think DJing is a solid career path?
It's tough, man. See, if I was to get into DJing now, I'll probably say no. Mm. Just because of how messy the DJ thing is now, but like it's so open, like there's just so much out there, isn't it? Like, we come from a time before that where we already laid our foundations early, so like we're here, and when you look at any of the DJs that are around our age that are a bit like, they're all out here still because they've laid them early foundations. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't want to say it's not a safe career path, because it's one of them ones where, bro, my mum used to tell me, don't be a DJ, it ain't a safe career path. But if you put your 150% into it every single day of the week, then yeah, you can make it work. But it boils down to, are you ready to put that work in to make it your full time? Do you know what I'm saying? And make it a sustainable career. That's the difference.
I think you're 100% right. You know, it's about how much you're willing to put in. Mm-hmm. I never, from when I started DJing, I've never had a plan B.
Same.
I did,
but only from like 3-4 years ago with the video stuff. Literally. Right. Yeah. And that's only because I got into my 30s and shit my knickers.
Well, yeah, but
it was a natural thing though still.
Yeah, and also, I mean, don't forget the pandemic played a part in that as well. 100%. Because again, there was a period where actually none of us were DJs. Yep. We weren't making any
money.
We were
all just bums, yo. Getting free government money.
I was a primary school teacher in my kitchen.
Yeah, that's crazy. Wow.
But yeah, I've distracted myself from the point I was going to make. Yeah, no, that's it, plan B. So I've never had a plan B. And my mentality behind that is if I'm spinning two plates at the same time and trying to make sure that plan B is there in case plan A doesn't work, for me, it means I'm not giving plan A 100% of my attention.
Exactly.
So it might not be as successful as if I just focus on plan A. And I'm very fortunate, bro. I realize like it is a lot of hard work and a lot of sacrifice, but also it does come down to fortune as well, like some luck. In a sense that I have been able to turn this into a full-time successful career.
I feel like you create your own luck, though. I don't. Everyone says, "Oh, luck, luck, luck," but you create the luck by putting yourself in situations, by putting yourself out there. The luck creates itself. Like they say the same in like football. Like you create your. Oh, they were lucky. Yeah, but they had to push into that position to create the luck to score that goal. Do you know what I'm saying? Like you've got to be out here to put yourself in a situation that makes you get a bit lucky. If you don't step out the yard, if you don't go to that gig, if you don't go and rub shoulders with that guy, if I don't DM Meeks that day on a random thing, I'm not going on tour with him. Like, if these situations,
you
know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like you create your luck, but you're right. If you have a plan B, you're not 100% focused on plan A. Or you can have one in the back of your mind, I guess. But if you're not going 100% at it, you never know if it's going to work.
So here's another question, All the bad parts of DJing, which I'm going to list in a minute for the people that haven't quite got fully immersed into the DJ world yet. If you knew about all the bad and negative parts that came along with being a DJ,
would you still do it?
Would you still do it?
Yeah. Because for me, the music thing, it's a lifestyle for me, innit? Like the DJing stuff.
Yeah.
I made a decision to be a DJ when I was like 12, 13 years of age, mate. That's all I wanted to do. Listening to fucking DJ EZ, Garage Nation Packs. He's doing a little chopping the cat. I'm like, but this, I was obsessed from young. I was trying to be into that 4 years before I left school.
Yeah.
So like for me, it was just instilled in me. Like I didn't really have. Yeah, it's a lifestyle, man. I feel like the real DJs, like it becomes their life. Like it ain't a job. This is my night. This is my daily from when I open my eyes to when I go to sleep and everything that surrounds DJing, whether it's events, music, production, whatever. Do you know what I'm saying? Like I wouldn't.
Yeah.
It's made me who I am as well. Like this is who I am. Like,
oh, facts. I think like without knowing what the success could, without knowing what it could have become, I think if 18-year-old me, or actually I was 17 when I got my first club job, but if 17-year-old me knew about all of the difficult parts and the complicated parts of DJing, I don't think I would have pursued it as a career.
Really?
The uncertainty of the success as well. So, all right, let me give you the
example. It was a bit different for you though, because you had like normal jobs, didn't it? Like earlier on, I think we've spoke about this before.
Yeah, I did like an office job for a year before I was DJing. I worked in a pub. I mean, normal jobs, but not fun, exciting jobs, like just very conventional. Here's your career path. If you stay there for 400 years, you might get a pension type jobs.
Got you.
But like the bad sides of this DJing thing that I'm talking about, like off the top of my head. Okay, so first things first is like,
there's a lot.
There is a lot. There's no such thing as a pension in the DJ world unless you do that. There's no.
Does your state pension if you're self-employed and you're making your contributions in it? But state pension's whack, bruv.
Yeah, 100%. There's no holiday pay. If you want to go on holiday, you're not getting holiday pay like the office job workers do. So if you're taking 2 weeks off to go on holiday, you're also not making any money.
You're not
money
getting your sick pay and you're spraying a couple bags at the same time.
And yeah.
So double whammy.
Yeah, so the holidays cost even more if you factor that in. You don't get sick pay if you're ill and you've got to take a night off. You're not getting paid for that night. You're not getting any, like, all of this stuff. You have to pay for your own travel to the club. In this day and age, that's an expensive thing to do. You don't get expenses back. You have to pay for your own tax. So you've got to be financially savvy and make sure at the end of the year, you've got your 20% for the government tucked away. 100%. Otherwise, you're getting hit with a sick tax bill. So you've got to do all of that stuff. What else is there?
Job uncertainty.
That was my next thing.
I think that's the key. Like there's so many peaks and troughs in this game where can be on top of the world 1 minute and you're DJing, said it last week, 79 gigs in a week, whatever. Next week you could be doing one.
Yeah, like, precisely. Like there's no contracts in this thing. Like there's no like, okay, yeah, cool. Well, if we want to get rid of you, we have to give you like 3 months' notice or whatever.
It's a lot of gentlemen's agreements, isn't it? It's a lot of gentlemen's agreements and shaking hands. And
even then, if the promoter's not making money, or if the club manager wants change, or if the club manager changes, you know, if the club gets a new manager instead,
who
wants to bring their own guys in, there's like, it's like you said, there's no job security whatsoever. You might be smashing it as a resident. I had a perfect example, 2021. I was killing my residency, bro. The place was jammed and jumping. And obviously, like, then I began touring. And that particular club manager didn't like the fact that there was some Fridays I couldn't do.
They were just looking for an excuse to dash, man, yo.
Basically, yeah.
But nah, joking,
and literally, like, but this is the savagery of the industry that we're in. Mm-hmm. I turned up. I took one night off of tour because it was quite an extensive. There was probably like 6 weeks in a row maybe that I wasn't there. And then I had a Friday night off in between two tour shows. So I paid for my own train back. Paid for a hotel near the club so I could get back onto the tour the next day, and deliberately came down. Bruv, the club manager like told me on the phone while I was on the way to the club that I don't work there anymore.
Wow.
Like, and had I not been in the position, the fact that I was touring, like, I would have been stressed. But that's just an example of how unstable this thing can be. That you can be on your way to a job and the man can call you and be like, oh yeah, yeah, by the way, you don't work for us no more. See ya. Do you know what I mean? Like,
I think it's the fact that you're not really in charge of your own destiny in most situations. Like,
it's crazy.
Like the rug can be pulled underneath you. I have had, no joke, probably 3-4 year long residencies in my career, yeah, that I've gone on to be integral nights in the city. I'm talking like the biggest nights in town over the years. Who's the first person to get dashed at the end always? When shit hits the fan, whether there's trouble, whether there's a fight, whether there's venue issues, DJ is 9 times out of 10 the first one to get called.
Yeah, if they like, want to change. We need to change something up about the club.
Yeah.
DJ's the first one.
We don't need to look at the security or how the venue's being run or XX Factor or X
or the
amount.
Clientele or the fact that you're letting in scumbags every week.
Exactly. Like this has happened to me several times over the years. And that was to the point where I was like, all that service, like when it comes down to it, really, you could just get chop suey'd, mate.
Yeah, chop suey'd.
Like literally, like that's another factor. Like you can give someone 4 or 5 years of your life every weekend, making them hundreds of thousands in revenue. Yeah, and you're getting whatever you're getting for your rate. But at the end of it, it can just be pulled from underneath you, like for whatever reason. Like mine's been normally from like trouble at venues or right people or whatever. But then, like you say, they'll look at the DJ 9 times out of 10 first before they look at anybody else, which is unfortunate. But I'm sure there's a lot of DJs out there that can relate to that.
Oh, 100%. But this is another negative part of DJing. Mm-hmm. Like another part is like, if you're DJing in a town that you're not from, you finish the club set, and you're probably not getting to bed before 6 in the morning.
Yeah, 100%.
And that messes up tomorrow.
Yep.
Do you know what I mean? Like all of these things, like I'm just listing them.
Personal sacrifice, innit? Like there's a lot of, put it this way, I live with my missus, We've been together for like flipping 18 bloody years or whatever. And I've probably not even seen her for half of them 18 years.
Right, yeah, it's fact.
It's not even an exaggeration. Like if you really broke down the times, like you sacrifice, like you've got a little one. Do you know what I'm saying? You have to sacrifice the time, unsociable hours. And bro, it gets lonely out here, bro, for this DJ thing.
Trust me.
Like you will have some dark times, you'll have some great times. And you gotta have thick skin. And that 100%. comes with time.
Yeah.
Of being in the game. Like now, shit just bounces off me these days. But I used to be so emotional over this stuff.
Like, definitely. It used to get to me as well. Mm-hmm. But also, I mean, so all of that saying as well, and stuff that we were saying about how as soon as something needs to happen in the club, they need to change something, they immediately go to change the DJ. Mm-hmm. That also goes to show another downside of being a DJ. No matter what you do, no matter how good you are, no matter your contribution, you are replaceable.
100%, always, always.
And now all of this stuff, it's like, and now you're doing all of that, putting yourself through all of that stress, risking like even down your health, your mental health.
Your health and your mental is a massive one.
All of this is on the line for doing this job.
Mm-hmm.
And you're playing 8 hours for £100.
Yeah. It's true.
Like this, and this is my point. It's like when you think about how much a DJ gets paid, you shouldn't just think about, oh, well, yeah, but he's just standing there for 4 hours playing music. That's all he's doing. Like, that's all he's doing is standing there playing music for 4 hours. So,
I think
why
the average person will
much?
Overlook all that, innit? The average person will overlook 100%. All of what, like, they're just seeing you stood there. They don't see the hundreds of hours going in behind it.
I don't think the average person, the family, the battles, but most. Yeah, yeah, but I think a lot of the promoters don't factor that stuff in. A lot of club managers, people, you know, in a lot of instances, especially with residencies and stuff, it's very rarely the resident that sets the rate.
Mm-hmm.
No, the club nowadays, I mean, I don't really know what it was like.
I feel like that is somewhere that needs, that's something that needs to be looked at, is actual venues dictating rates is also part of the problem. They'll say, oh yeah, you want a DJ, right? We got this much. Not like, if you go to like a designer and say, I want this done, they're quoting you. Whereas these venues are coming to you and saying, right, this is how much we can pay you.
This is the thing. Like,
you know, and what I'm actually saying, but every DJ has different rates.
If you take your car to the garage to get it fixed, yeah, imagine this.
Give like, £20, mate, yeah?
I've just had my car fixed, yeah? It's just cost me £900 to get my car fixed up, right?
Jesus Christ.
I know, it's horrible. But imagine I've gone to the garage for that work and I've said to them, right, it needs this and this and this. My budget's £500. So can you just get it done for £500? Or an electrician comes to the house to rewire the lights. And you're like, yeah, cool. I need the lights doing. I've got £50. Like, that's the rate. Like, I'll give you £50 for it. Like, what kind of electrician are you getting for £50? And for people that don't know, a good electrician is probably £250 upwards for a day's work. Do you know
just
what
to
I mean?
Get, like, just to call them out, bro.
I mean, yeah, like a competent electrician probably gets around £250 upwards, and that's not including the stuff that they're putting into the, like, if you're getting new lights done, they're going to charge you for the actual lights as well, right? So now imagine, okay, cool, well, I can't afford the £250 electrician, I'll get a £50 one. What kind of electrics are you getting in your house?
Yeah.
If you go to the £50 mechanic, do you think your car's going to be drivable after that? And honestly,
I'm going to have wheels just rolling up down the road.
I genuinely believe the same thing applies to DJs. Mm-hmm. If you pay a very, very cheap, and not in every case, not in absolutely every case, and I'll give an example why in a minute, but if you pay rock bottom for a DJ, and if you set the fee and you're paying what I consider is not a reasonable DJ rate, you're not going to get a top guy. Your night is not going to be the best night that it possibly is. Now, the difference in that and the contrast is my very first club job, I was getting paid £30.
Same.
So there is an entry level, and I'm aware that this is a bit of a contradiction to what I'm saying. There is an entry level. Hopefully it's not £30 anymore, but that was just me getting into it. Do you know what I mean? That was my first ever club job. I'm getting into it. I wanted to, like, I didn't care about the money. I was still living at my parents' house. Like, and even, I've said this before, I wasn't driving at the time. The taxi home at the end of the night cost £25.
It's true.
I'm making £5 a night, which at the time, again, was going into music. I was spending money on music, and that £5 disappeared into that as well. So I wasn't making any money profit-wise. £30. I was doing a couple hours in a bar, and then I think I probably went and did the hour warm up at the club. I can't remember if it was all for £30 or £30 per one. But anyway,
when you break that down, though, that £30 now,
inflation
with inflation and that, like,
that's like £8,000 for the set.
double would have to be like 50. No, but if you had done the inflation from then to now, like that, like for a very, very first DJ set, trying to get your feet, like trying to dip your toes in that, it probably wouldn't even end up being that bad. But what went into it back then, you have to, like now, you don't have to buy no music with that fee.
No. But the difference is as well, I was a brand new, I was a rookie, and I wasn't being given the whole club night. No way are the promoters giving me the whole club night.
You're just getting the opener, aren't you, man? I did the first few hours for £30.
No one was even in the club. The bar that I played at was, and it was popping. And so my point there is actually, like, even back then, I was a good DJ. I was very competent and I was very good at it. But they're paying 30 quid. So, okay, cool. They're paying rock bottom and they are actually getting a good DJ.
Mm-hmm.
But as soon as I'd got the experience, as soon as I learned my way about and realized, actually, you know what? This DJing thing is where I want to go. Price goes up. The price started going up. And when someone else comes to try and book me, I'm giving them the price. Do you know what I mean? They're not getting me for £30 because they've asked me for the booking. So now that's how I stepped it up. Do you know what I mean? Like, I didn't suddenly just switch one day on the promoter and be like, look, I know you pay me £30. I know you gave you my into the clubs, but now I want more money. I didn't do that.
I think it's a case of figuring out where you're at as a DJ as well, man, in regards to what you can charge for your rates. Like, are you out here? Are you active? Like, now you've got like social media activity and stuff. Is all that kind of stuff moving? Are you providing like value to that venue? Like, are people coming to support your thing? Like, there's so many like factors in how you price up like your sets now, man. And obviously,
it's a very, very difficult thing to balance.
100%.
Very difficult. Because, you have all of those things. Are you adding value? Have you got a local fan base of people that are coming for you? Do you know what I mean? Like, are you making the club money? And ultimately, like, how replaceable are you? It's not, are you replaceable? Because every single person in the DJ world, everyone is replaceable. But how replaceable are you? Because if you're quite high value to the club, if you're extremely good at what you do, it's going to be more difficult to replace you because the club night is going to suffer if they get a lower tier DJ that isn't as good as you.
Mm-hmm, 100%.
But don't get it twisted. Some clubs will just do that.
Well, I've seen, I'm not going to name no names, but over the years, I've seen some DJs get moved along that have gone on to be fucking huge, bro.
Yeah.
Because sometimes you just get venues that don't get it or don't understand what DJing is. I've had venues where managers come over and they're trying to DJ. They're coming over touching buttons and whatnot. And like, it's like, the people that are booking these DJs, do they get it? Because then, right, bro, John from Jaloo.
Big up John.
We've not spoke about him for ages. There's a manager there of a venue that gets it, who knows what dope DJing is and knows what the value is, pays you right, looks after you right, 100%. Knows what a good set is. Do you know what I'm saying? If every venue had one of them in, oh my days, we would all be flying out here, mate.
And you know what I notice about John? He's a big music fan.
Exactly.
He knows his shit. Like, he knows his music. And not only that, but he actually stays in what's the word? He stays in touch, like, with
he keeps who
the
popping
DJs are. 100%. Like, he knows the good DJs. He knows what a good DJ is, but he is a music fan.
Yeah, it's not as if he's not surrounded by some of the best DJs in the UK, though, isn't it, around Newcastle?
Well, yeah, of course.
It does help. So but if someone comes in and the caliber's not there, he knows.
I think other than Jonesy, I live the furthest away from Newcastle.
Yeah, it's real.
Do you know
talk.
What I mean? But John still actually discovered me.
Mm-hmm.
And booked me for his venues. Do you know what I mean? So it's like, he actually stays plugged in with who's sick, and he gives a shit. He's a rare breed, mate.
100%. I feel like a lot of these managers that are looking after these venues, the managers, bro, they're balancing books, they're dealing with numbers, staff, like the DJ thing. That's why we end up at the bottom of the ladder in some of these spots, because it's very difficult. We're of least importance.
It's very difficult because I get it. A club, it's not a charity, and it's not just a place where they just want people to have fun. Like, if you're running a club, you're running a business.
It's about making money. Yeah,
you want to make money and you want to run a business, but you can do that in any business. A club's a very expensive thing to set up. So if you've got money to set up a club, you have to surely have a passion for nightlife good nightlife. Like, I don't understand it in the instances where there's clubs that exist and they don't give a shit about the quality of the night. I genuinely can't get my head around it. Because it's like, if you've got this much money to pour into a club, which again is not the most secure business investment.
Well, nightclubs are not it, man. I've been there before.
If you've got that much money, if you've got that much money to put into a venue, why do you not give a shit about the quality of the night? This is what just, it baffles me, man. It really does. But I get it. Like, it's business. And business is about making profit. And making profit is by controlling your expenses. And controlling your expenses means giving your resident DJs the minimum possible amount that you can give.
Mm-hmm. We're in a situation now as well, bro, where everything's gone up. Bar prices are going up. Drinks are going up. So I was having this conversation this week with some local guys, and we're like, we got to be putting ours up.
100%.
Everything is going up right now. Rent, living costs, energy bills, whatever, like, even expenses, everything's gone up in price. Like, coffees are going up, food is up.
What's mad?
Literally everything out here is up right now, except DJ wage.
Except DJ fees, which is wild to me. Bruv, it cost me 30% more.
Crazy.
Just to get to my bookings now. 30% more on the travel cost than it did pre-pandemic. Do you know what I mean? But like...
Mm-hmm. We're at a situation now where we have to have these conversations.
Yeah, 100%.
And it goes back to that point of, are people comfortable having these conversations? You know what I'm saying? Like, it's,
absolutely. Do you know what? They're, in my humble opinion, resident DJs, minimum wage should be £50 an hour. Like, minimum £50 an hour.
What, even for DJs starting out, straight out the gate?
I think so. But the difference there is DJs, brand new DJs, shouldn't be doing the whole night.
Oh yeah, 100%.
They're not experienced enough to be doing the whole entire night for mm-hmm. a club. So I honestly think a venue or a promoter that's booking a brand new DJ to do the whole night, someone that's not got the experience in a club, that's reckless.
Yep. I'm not a fan of the whole trial thing either, to be honest. Like, the whole come through, do an hour or two, we may or may not book you. And then if we like, you're like, I do hear that. But bro, it's like, all right, so I got hired to do a freelance job. Oh yeah, come out. We'll try you on this job. See if we like what you've done. We may or may not pay you. We may or may not use you again.
See where I disagree with that? It depends who's asking. If the DJ, imagine I'm a brand new DJ and I want to get a set in the club. If I ask the club for the job...
But you still got to pay to get there, bro. Like, why should you go out of pocket?
No. Because if I'm approaching them and I'm saying, look, I'm a new DJ. I want to get into the club. Can I come and play? And if they're like, yeah, okay, you know what? We'll give you a chance. Come down Friday, do 10 till 11, and we want to see how you are.
Okay.
I'm not then going to say, okay, but can you give me 50 quid? Well, okay, no, actually, maybe you could ask at least, but I'm not going to say, okay, I charge 50 quid. Like, I come to them. I've come to them for the job. Yeah, so I'm asking them. However,
I'm a promoter, bro. I can't do it, man. Even if I'm trialing someone, I'd at least say, oh, I'll cover your travel or whatever.
What the difference is,
No.
The difference is you're a DJ promoter. The DJ promoter is
I'm one of the managers we were just talking about. I'm someone that gets it.
Yeah, of course. But there are promoters that run this entirely as a business. It isn't just about quality. So they're keeping numbers down. But I mean, I honestly think, like, even if I was a promoter, as a DJ promoter, if someone who's never played in a club before pops up out the blue and says to me, I love the music that your night plays, I want to get into club DJing. I've done some stuff in my bedroom for the last 2 years. I think I'm ready for the clubs. Can I come down and play? I'm going to consider, like, yeah, okay, I'll give you the first hour. Come, and then we'll see. And then after that, we'll have a conversation. In my head, I'm not thinking, you know what? I'm going to pay you for the first hour because you've come to me and asked.
Go on.
If they're absolutely sick, and I'm like, actually, you know what? This kid's got it. Like, he gets it. I might break him off with some money for the first hour and be like, look, here you go. Here's 50 quid. That'll cover your travel in a little bit. I want to talk to you about becoming a resident, blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. If on the flip side, if I am as a promoter looking for new residents, it is completely unreasonable to message them and be like, look, I've come across your Instagram. You seem cool. I'm looking for a new resident. Can you come and do a tryout on Friday? I'm not going to pay you. I just want to see if you really are as good as your Instagram. That's where it can't run. If they're asking you for your services, they have to pay. But if you're asking them for the opportunity, I don't think they're obliged. I think it'd be nice if they paid.
Yeah, this is the thing. I approached. I still to this day remember my first residency in town at Paparazzi, and it was a night that Atlantic were involved in back in the day. Like, it was street team stuff. They did all the old launch parties and all that. Whatever.
They got Matchstick.
They got Match. I was begging them, and then when I finally got in there, like, they did, like, that was like my first spot where they were giving me like 30 quids and that 40 quids, but I tapped them. I was chasing them. I was going into town on foot with cassette tapes, mate, posting them through the door, knocking on, begging, like, it's all done on the internet now. And then when I finally got in there, perseverance, yeah. They did end up just nicing me, but like you say, it was like a 30 quid, 40 quid thing. So I think just from going off my own experience, even me as a DJ coming up begging for sets, they still sent me a bit of change, you know what I'm saying? Even though I was tapping them up kind of thing. But
and that's cool. That's dope. That
I must, have, dope just got, that I must that. Have just got a nice guy.
Yeah, I guess so. But yeah, that's my opinion anyway. If you ask the club for a trial, they're not obliged to pay for that. But if they approach you, 100% hit them with a fee. Mm-hmm. That's rude. You can't ask someone to come and work for you and then not pay them. But if you're asking for the opportunity, I do believe they're not obliged to pay you. But as a DJ, it would be nice if they did. But yeah, so I think resident minimum wage should be £50 an hour.
Okay.
Minimum wage.
I'm not going to argue with that, to be fair. I think that's quite a fair rate.
Yeah, because like if you look at clubs going from 10 till 4, if you're doing the whole night, it's £250.
Yeah, it's decent.
If you're doing like...
It's £300, by the way.
Huh?
10 till 4, £50. £300.
Yeah, sorry. It is. You're all right. So, my plan B, if DJing doesn't work out, I'm going to be a math teacher. But yeah, sorry. 10 till 4, it should be, £300.
I think now as well, with even DJs coming through early... Like a lot of these new kids that are on it with the branding, that are on it with the socials and like getting content on, like a lot of these new kids are embracing social media way more than the elders are. Like yeah. The elders are embracing it, but these kids are born into it. So like they have a different like approach to it. Do you know what I'm saying? Like I see people like Day Day and some of these other dudes that are just relentless with it. Like wheels, content, and their game is up. So like these kids coming through now, they probably get away with asking for a little bit more if they're on job though, bruv. I've seen some kids come through early and are nailing it.
Yeah, in
the first couple of years. Like,
but again, just playing devil's advocate, it is all well and good having the sickest DJ in the planet, but the club has to see the value as well.
Yeah, 100%.
Not just musically being amazing. Like it has to. If you are the sickest DJ in your town, it has to not just be based on your skills. It has to be based on the fact that you're running the Friday night. Everyone that likes that music is coming to that club. Anyone from out of town, if they ask where's the popping Friday night, they're going to say this night with this DJ. That's what's up. That is the sickest night. That's where the value is added for the club. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Like, which is a big thing based around DJs. Like 100%. People aren't going, or generally anyway, people aren't saying, oh yeah, go there on a Friday night. The drinks are amazing. The drinks are cheap. Go there on a Friday night. The entry is free.
Bro, most time these days, people aren't even trying to buy too many drinks. They're drinking before they go out.
Free drinks. This is true. Like,
that's a new thing, bro, because it's expensive.
So again, that does actually add, I shouldn't probably even say this, but that does add to the argument for clubs as to why they're not paying DJs more.
It is, 100%.
And why over the last two decades it's dropped down, because they're not making the money that they were making 20 years ago on the bar.
And it also goes back to everything's going up, but not everybody's wages are. So people are saving, people aren't spending. Rent's up, energy's up, everything up. Man's wages aren't up. So what does that mean? We've got to cut back on the stuff we enjoy.
Well, so right now what we're doing is we're adding to the argument of why clubs shouldn't pay DJs more. So let's change the topic.
Brother.
It is true.
It's a sticky one still.
Yeah, sticky one still.
My man's looking up at the clock.
Yeah.
It's time to get off.
One thing I was going to ask, or actually going to say, is on top of all this, I firmly believe that if a club is asking you as a DJ to bring your own equipment, you should be charging more.
100%.
Charge a higher fee. That's your equipment you're taking to the club. Yep. And if someone chucks a drink all over your... I'm not talking about laptops, by the way, because if you just stand a DJ off a laptop, that's your business.
That's pretty part of... That's your choice.
Mm-hmm. The difference is if it's your... Like, I take turntables to most clubs when I'm doing more than an hour. I don't charge the clubs for my turntables being used because I choose to use it.
I still can't believe you do and that, yo. That is crazy to me.
But the clubs have equipment there that I could use, but I just choose not to. So I don't. Okay. But when a club says, right, we need a DJ, here's the fee. Oh, by the way, you need to bring a controller.
And an XLR cable.
And your XLR cables. I just think like, okay, cool. So that's the DJ fee. Well, now I'm charging you a higher fee for the equipment as well. Because, mm-hmm. yeah, someone dashes a drink over your controller and it's ruined. Do you think the club are paying you back for that controller?
Well, I've had that on laptops and the club ain't even trying to look at you. They're not trying to...
I mean, it's slightly different with a laptop, I think, because that's your choice. You could bring USBs. The club don't need you to bring a laptop.
Yeah, no, when
the club need you to bring your own equipment, like they just have the XLR leads. They need you to bring a controller.
Yes, sir.
You should be charging them a higher fee.
Yep.
Because, yeah, like I say, like you've spent that money on the controller. What's happened is the club saved money. They haven't had to spend $6,000 on a Pioneer setup. Mm-hmm. But you have to provide them with a service.
Mm-hmm. No, so it's now, true. I don't even think that's a club. Straight one, that, bro, for me. That's a straight one for me. That's not even an argument. Like if you were bringing gear outside of your laptop controller, whatever, like that 100% should be factored in.
If they ask you to bring it, you should mm-hmm. charge a higher fee on top of your DJing fee.
I feel like that's the thing in London a lot. Up here, we're quite lucky. A lot of the venues, they have gear. But like all the London shouts, I see oh, gig here, this time to this time, controlling, need a controller. Like literally not, like 80% of them, like you need a controller with it. But then they're dictating the fee.
Yeah, yeah. £120 for 15 hours, must have controller. I saw one the other day, yeah. I think it was like 10 till 4, £200.
And you got to bring equipment.
No, bro, this made me laugh out loud. I'm going to see if I can find it. I actually screenshotted it, yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
Do I still have it? Mayfair Casino. Oh, it didn't actually say the money there, but can you see that? DJ and booth required.
And the booth.
DJ.
Bring the booth.
Did you see that?
DJ. One said bring a booth.
Bro, let me show you again. Look at the screen. Look at the screen.
That is amazing. Yeah, that is crazy. But and you know what's even worse?
That's come from
an agency
that sent out DJ and booth required.
I feel like that's another conversation as well, which also creates part of the problem. There's, as good as agencies are, they're sending out a fee, but they're eating off the fee. So that alleviates.
Oh, yeah.
So that's taken from yours. So there's no headroom because the agency is getting the booking and eating the change in the gap. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I hear it and I get the agency's source and the work and should be like compensated for that or whatever, but that's where that then takes away the power that you have for any kind of negotiation asking for extra because the agency is eating the extra. So like they might say you're getting 200, but the agency might be charging 280.
Yeah.
You know I mean,
I think the agency conversation,
like they provide a service for sure, and I work for agencies too. But
yeah,
like that's definitely one of the factors that's involved in it. Where you
that's a whole episode there. I think agencies.
Yeah, real talk.
DJ agencies is definitely a whole episode. one thing I've always said, yeah, and this comes back to what I was saying earlier about when I first started out charging £30 for the set compared to what I charge now. I think what a lot of people overlook is like, I'm charging a certain fee now. I'm charging you for, what is it, like 15, 16, 17 years worth of experience.
Yep.
I'm charging you for all the mistakes that I've learned from. I'm charging you for all the times that I've learned, like the way that I've learned to use the mic, how I've learned to control a crowd, how I've learned to read a crowd, how I've learned to deal with something if the music completely cuts out and there's a panic. Mm-hmm. I can solve that problem instantly.
Bro, my missus says this to me all the time. She's like, you should go and work in like sound, like your troubleshooting and like the knowledge. Like, bro, you can't put a price on expertise that's built up over 10, 15, 20 years or whatever.
100%. Like, and that is, but that's compacted into the fee, which is why more experienced DJs should be charging more if mm-hmm. they're good. Because we've dealt with all of the stuff before. There's going to be a new young DJ that has never, ever had a mixer crash on them.
True stories.
And so, or something go wrong with the sound, and now all the sound's cut off in the middle of the club, and they are folding. They're sweating, bruv, because they have never.
And then, the first time it happens, bro.
After 60 seconds of silence, which, by the way, when the music turns off in the club,
that's the longest
time ever, especially if it's the mixer that's gone wrong. You can't even tell the people there's a technical issue. 60 seconds goes past, you're trying to fix the problem, and then you know what starts? Especially if it's a student night. Do you know what starts? And now, now there's 50 people doing it. Another 30 seconds goes past, bruv. Now I've got 200 people booing. Do you know what I mean? And it's like, actually, I'm at a point now where, boom, music's gone off. I know within 10 seconds where the problem is.
Yeah.
And within 20 seconds, normally the problem is solved. And people don't know. Like, do you know what I mean? And it's job done. I had one the other night, actually. Shouts to my bro DJ Tino, yeah? I was using his controller because I couldn't get my decks to the club. And quite close to the end of the night, the left deck just stopped working, like it was going mad.
Mad.
And so for a few songs, I had to echo them out and just flip back onto the right deck, onto the right deck. And we realized to solve the problem, we're going to have to reboot the controller. So there's going to be like 15 seconds of quiet. I can't use the mic because it's going through the controller. Rebooted the controller, and then the thing wouldn't reconnect to the computer.
Oh my days.
So it was a good like 2.5 minutes where there was complete silence. Luckily, it was getting towards the end of the night anyway, so it didn't ruin much. And then I figured out the problem, and then we got on. But even then though, like, I can't lie, towards the end of it, I was sweating a little bit. Because that was an unfamiliar one, because I've not had a controller pack up on me before and there was no backups, because the controllers don't take USBs. So I was getting a bit sweaty towards the end of that one, I won't lie. But my point is, I'm so experienced at this job, and us more experienced DJs, we know what we're doing so well that we could diagnose a problem within seconds and have it fixed in less than a minute. That's why we're charging.
You got to factor that into your fee, innit? It's the experience and the years accumulated.
That's the thing. And that's the thing. You're not paying me for the 2 hours that I'm in the club.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't a 2 hourly rate. You're paying me for all of the time that I've been DJing and all of the experience and knowledge that I bring to the club. Not just about troubleshooting, about your audience, about the fact that I've done my research. I know all old school dancehall tunes that are going to ring off.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I know all the old school hip hop. I know all the new school hip hop. I stay on top of all of this. I know everything about my speciality that I need to know. I know. And I can come and do that. It sounds arrogant, but I'm making a point. I can come and do that club set with my eyes closed and shell it down. Do you know what I mean? And it's because of all the experience that I bring. That's why the fee is what it is. It's not for the 2 hours I'm in the club.
I hear that, to be fair. It's rough. Yeah. I've got nothing to add to that. You said it all, bro.
There you go.
I was about to add something, but I feel like you just nailed it in one. It's true. Experience, man, pace. You got to add that. You got to factor that into your fees. And it's that's exactly what it is, man.
So how do you think for a resident DJ, someone has started out, let's just say they've taken our advice, they're doing the first hour in the club and they're getting £50. How do they make more money now? How do they step out of the £50 bracket, and how do they turn this into a solid weekly job that they can make a decent living from? Do you have any advice for that?
Work hard. Be consistent. Show up.
Reliability is a huge thing.
Show up. Huge thing. Be trustworthy. Be a good people person. Have good relationships with the people you work with. You just be on it around the clock, man. The progression of wage will come naturally as you build yourself up.
I don't think it will come naturally.
No, I think it. Well,
because
again, it depends if you're good at having these conversations. If you don't mind talking about money, these things came for me over time and being in the industry, bro, and being about people, learning from the elders, looking what other people are doing, taking advice.
But I haven't managed to get up from the £30 for the set to where I am now naturally. It hasn't happened naturally. It has been, like you say, it's awkward.
No,
it's
not naturally, but
early on, bro, talking about money is awkward. Do you know what I mean? You know what? I want a little bit more money now. It's an awkward conversation to have. It's a very taboo topic.
Because when you're coming into the game, you're a raw, fresh DJ and you don't know what you're getting into at the start. So I say naturally, that's worded wrong. It's like a progressional thing. You start figuring it out. The more you're outside in this game, you learn, you start figuring it out. You figure out the do's and the don'ts and the liaison, the conversations, the relationships. I definitely worded that one, to be fair. That was the wrong word. But I feel like the more you're out here doing it, you get your stripes up in it.
100%.
You start figuring it out. Everyone's view is different, though.
The word of mouth as well, though. So, for example, you've got your first club gig, you're doing the first hour of the club. And then what does happen naturally is sometimes the promoter might then say, okay, you know what, do the first 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Or 1 week, the main guy, the main DJ, can't make it for whatever reason. They might be sick, they might be on holiday, they might have another job somewhere else. And now the promoter's going to go, you know what? You know the night, you're a solid warm-up DJ. Can you do the main set as well?
Mm-hmm.
In those instances, that's where the money conversation has to come in.
Yep.
Because the promoter might be expecting you to be like, yeah, of course. And then not expect to pay you more.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? So they might be like, okay, cool, sick. And then at the end of the night, you've done 4 hours and you're still getting 50 quid.
Oh yeah.
That is an instance where it's like, yeah, of course. But what's the money situation? It's literally as simple as that. It's like, well, do you know what I mean? Of course I can do that. But if it's four hours, can you give me £200? And it doesn't have to be, it's 4 hours. So it is £200. Do you know what I mean? I'm talking about for the new guys just starting out. It's not like a forceful thing. It's,
mm-hmm.
You've still got to be a people person. You've still got to learn to talk to people in the business. It's like, yeah, okay, I'm going to do 4 hours, but I charge £50 just for the 1 hour set. So if it's 4 hours, is £200 okay for you?
Yeah,
and the 100%. Promoter, the thing is, they might be paying their other guy £400 for that set anyway.
I was just about to say, bro, 9 times out of 10, these promoters and these managers, they deal with money daily. So it's not an awkward thing for them. I think just for newer DJs, when you're coming through, you just think in your head, I don't want to really be asking about money. But really asking that question, it's not even as deep as you really think when you break it down.
100%.
Because the managers are dealing with money daily. The promoters are probably, paying the main DJ X amount, whatever. You just got to kind of step out and look back on it yourself and realize it's not as deep as you may be making out in your head when it comes to talking about money with these people.
Yeah. Touching back on what we were saying earlier as well about whether the club sets the fee or the DJ sets the fee. One way of getting your money up is applying the thing that if someone comes to you for the service, you can set the fee.
Mm-hmm.
If you're asking them, they can dictate it. So it's kind of a bit of a gray area, but it's a double-edged sword at the same time. So imagine you're doing the first hour for your £50 warm-up, your first ever residency, and then someone else from a club comes and says, look, I think you're a sick warm-up DJ. I want you to come and warm up at my night. It's every Wednesday instead of Friday. So now you've got two nights. You can actually say, so they've approached you. You can actually say, okay, yeah, but for the first hour warm up, it's £80. Because now you've increased your price. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So now you're getting £80 for that first hour. And that's, I think, how it works. However, if you approach that promoter and say, look, I see you've got a Wednesday. I do Fridays over there. I want to come and do your Wednesday. It puts you in not such a strong position to be like, but also I charge £80 for the hour. Do you know what I mean?
You're basically cold calling for work, isn't it? It's like knocking on the door. You're knocking on someone's door like, hi, can I clean your windows? Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, sometimes it works, but again, it's how you approach it. And I think a lot of people forget that DJing, it's a business and you're a brand. You are a product. Do you know what I mean? So you just have to price yourself in the region that the promoter thinks that it's worth paying that much for that product.
Yeah, yeah, 100%.
So... yeah, I think it's difficult. It is tricky as well, because like, for example, a Wednesday night student night that charges £1 per person on the door and only has a 200 capacity venue is not making the same amount of money as a 2000 capacity super club that charges £15-20 on the door on a Saturday night. So you also do have to factor that sort of thing in. It's if you're going to go and do a Wednesday for a student night, that doesn't, you've got to take this stuff into.
I was about to say, you saying that, bro, you got to figure out where you actually want to position yourself in the club scene. Do you want to be playing 150, 200 cap, £1 entry room that's got a specific type of crowd, or do you know what I mean? Or do you want to be the guy that's running the R&B and hip hop in like a Prism? Or do you know what I'm saying? Like, it's finding your position. Like, I've never been that guy to do the dingy. I've not really been into the dingy like student gigs. Like, it's not really my thing. I actually despise student nights now, to be honest.
that's another episode.
If I'm being completely honest. So yeah, and it's figuring out where you want to be as well. So where you want to position yourself, because you get some of the DJs that do them nights that will happily, like, brother, them nights where it's like a pound entry and whatever, and it's cheap as chips. You know, them DJs are getting like, it's next to nothing really. Let's keep it real.
Yeah.
So it's finding out where you want to be. And also, when you do get your rates, what's up, Budge? What is it? It's sticking by your rates. It's too easy to get disheartened when you ask for a certain amount. And like, if you truly believe that that's what you're worth and your weight is open, you've got a good following, people are coming to your nights and whatever, you might have to turn down some work for the greater good. For the greater good of being able to actually command them fees. I had a position in my career where I left a load of work for that reason to get my money up, to try and get what I was worth, working for promoters that didn't really fully appreciate the value. And yeah, I might have gone out of pocket for fucking hell, close to a year, but it worked itself out.
Yeah, I'm exactly the same as that, bro. Like, there's so many bookings that have come up in the last year that previously I would have jumped at, and I would have been like, sick, yeah, cool, let's do it. Even though the money was, I mean, it's still good, but it's not amazing. It's not life-changing money. Do you know what I mean? But like, because nowadays it's lower than my fee, I have to turn it down. It's like, true. No. This is the fee that I'm working with. And unfortunately, if your night can't afford that budget, then
maybe we're not the DJ for that night, bro.
That's the thing. Then respectfully, if you can't afford me, you can't have me.
Yeah, it's
like,
true.
But... again,
you said with the electrician thing before, you said like an electrician, they're going to quote you this. You say, no, they ain't coming out.
That's it. That's exactly
they're not coming out. Like, that's the price. That's the fee. Like,
the difference is, and this is advice for people that do ever get into that situation, there is a way to approach it. And how I just explained it on the podcast is not how I dealt with the promoter. Do you know what I mean? I didn't say, well, if you can't afford me, you can't have me.
Yeah.
Mine was... this is the fee. They came back with a counter offer and said, oh, this is our budget, which was far below what I would have accepted. And so I said to them, unfortunately, you know, I can't do it for that. It is too low, but I do know I have a huge network of DJs. Here's a list of names of people that you can ask. Some of them might be able to do it for that budget. Do you know what I mean? So I'm actually keeping the relationship there, because in a year's time their night might be off the ground. They might have a triple budget for that.
Yep.
And they're going to think, actually, you know what, we couldn't afford double last year, but he was really cool and he helped us book in 10 DJs that would 100. work. So you know what, now we've got the budget, let's shout him back, oh, he charges a little bit more, it's cool, our budget's a little bit more, boom, let's get double in. And now, do you know what I mean, I've preserved that relationship because I've helped the promoters out. And so they can see I'm not an asshole. It's just business. But now what's happened is it's come back around and they've gone, actually, you know what? Dobble helped us out. Let's book him in.
Boom. You'd be surprised as well, bro. They try and call you bluff sometimes. So it's like knowing how to barter and really talk to these people when it comes to money, because they'll say this and they'll say no. But yeah, like, I've had so many situations where I've stuck to my guns and they've come back a week later. Yeah, we'll do it.
100%.
It's the same in any business. Like, you go in low, you go in high, whatever, and you figure out the fee in the middle. Like, they will try and barter you down, and sometimes you just got to stick to your rates and be confident in your ability.
There's like the unwritten rule of overprice it, and then if they come in lower, then you come in with like a counter offer that's in the middle, and everyone agrees in the middle.
Yeah,
I don't play that game. The price that I give you, the price is the price. Like, yesterday's price,
it's not today's price.
Well, it's January, actually. Yesterday's price. Today's price is probably cheaper. But no, the price that I give you, if you're a promoter and you ask me for this specific set, the price that I give you is my fee. That's what it is. If you come in, and this sounds pathetic, if you come in at £50 less, no, because that's not the fee. This is the fee. I don't play the game where I'm like, I'll tell you this much, you come in with this much, and then we meet in the middle, and then everyone feels like they've all won. No. Like, if you've asked me for a specific job and I've priced it up at this much, this is the price.
Do you know, just to throw a spanner in the works, like, not everybody can afford to, like we've built up to a position where we can afford to turn down some work or whatever, but then you're always going to have that situation where people aren't in a position to turn down work, bro.
And again, that is one of the factors that has contributed to the DJ fees getting as low as they are for residents and for like club. I want to say like normal club DJs, but I hope everybody understands what I mean by that. Like, not people that are out doing guest sets and
residency stuff, isn't it?
Residency local, stuff, like, and people local that just bounce around doing
shit like that. Yeah,
like local DJs. That's what I mean. Yeah, local DJs. That's why I think the fees have got so low, is because there are a lot of people, especially post pandemic, that started panicking. Shit, my residency, my club shut down. This and that. Like, I've got no work. So you know what? I'm going to accept anything that comes along, anything at all. And then that's like, okay, that's set a new precedent for how low the fees will be, because these guys just need to make some money and they want to do it DJing. No matter how low it is, they're just out there doing it. But it's been long enough now since the pandemic. There should be an adjustment period. And I think the DJ fees need to be reasonable again. And I think a lot of the stuff I see and a lot of the stuff I hear, it's not reasonable. It's not okay. And it's meaning DJing is not a sustainable career. Once you take away expenses, tax, time that it takes to get into this, do you know what I mean? Like,
no, it's real talk, man. It's a techie one, brother. It's
they're not making enough money.
We're never going to be. This is why it's like having this conversation now. They're the factors that they're never going to go away. Man, yeah, always going to be out here hustling for that extra penny, and there's always going to be. It all boils down to the what we spoke about at the start. It's because of where the entry level of DJing is now.
You
don't need to be qualified. You don't need to go and do an electrician's course or whatever. Buy a controller. I'm outside. That's what it is. So there's a difference in caliber of DJs. Like,
don't mean there
the
is,
cream,
but
the cream will rise, man, if you're about it.
Yeah, I love that. The cream will rise.
It's true.
But yeah, I think like hopefully there's enough gems in this week's episode for a lot
we've
of
got more in it, but we're trying to stick to a certain time limit on these pods, man, because we were getting crazy with them. Like, we had some 2.5 hour long ones and that, but like,
I think we have, looking at the notes, we do have a lot of other stuff we can cover, but you know what, I think for this episode, like, I think there's enough gems there.
I agree. I think there's obviously more. We could do a part two.
There'll be a lot of people out there that have said,
you didn't tell us how much you get paid in this. And that's not what this episode was about. Like,
it's tax return deadline time. I'm not telling anyone what I earn.
Yeah, we're not implicating ourselves on a podcast, mate. I paid my tax bill 2 days ago, bro. Allow me.
But yeah, it's, I don't know. It's a tricky one. It's ultimately, like, to conclude everything, there's no set rate that every DJ is just charging. Everyone's earning a different amount. And some people are paying more on a Saturday than they are on a Wednesday. 100%. Do you know what I mean? Like, or they're charging less midweek than they are at the weekend. But it's all these different factors that we've discussed that you have to take into account. And just remember, at the end of the day, you are a business. You're providing a service. You're not a charity. And if you want to take DJing seriously, and if you really want to go the distance, and in 20 years time, tell yourself, like, I am a full-time DJ. I bought property. I've done this. Like, do you know what I mean? All from DJ money. If you want to be able to do that, you have to think sensibly about how much money you're making and what you're charging and what bookings you turn down.
Before we go as well, yeah, talking about that, like, I feel like sometimes when you are out here commanding higher wage and more money, or on the bottom end, you're going out for 50 quid or whatever, they're probably going to look at, like, in the long run, they'll look at you with a bit more respect that you are a bit more professional. Yeah, like, you're standing 100%. By your rates and commanding it and being on job than just being like, oh, it's 50 quid, oh, safe, yeah, do it.
Yeah, 100%.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, maybe not at first, but perseverance and sticking, like you say, standing by your numbers, man, and sticking to what you feel you're worth is the key.
Yeah, like, definitely. Definitely.
Thing.
Yeah, man.
Know yourself, so, man.
Know yourself. Know your worth.
Hit me. Okay, but, now, if you want to come and play Compound, I'll give you 50 quid.
Can I do the first hour?
No. Main set, 50 quid, safe.
Pop, pop, pop. But yeah, anyway, so TalkOverPod, at TalkOverPod on all the socials. I am extremely interested to hear everybody's opinion on this, like the DJ fees. Do you think as well, do you agree with me about £50 being
double put a number on it, man?
But just because I've always thought that. I thought £50 an hour for a resident or local DJ should be the minimum. That's minimum wage. If you're brand new and just starting out, that's the minimum you should be charging. That's my opinion.
There you go. I think it should be 100.
£100 an hour.
No, I'm joking. Not for a new DJ, hell.
I mean, still, let's put it out there, bro. Let's get
it's not £100.
Get everyone paid.
£100 an hour for a new DJ is not feasible, and no promoter in your right mind is going to pay that anyway.
10 till 11 p.m. That's a sticky one. Yeah. Anyway, Talk Over Podcast, Double and Stylo. We do this every single week. Yeah. Number one music commentary podcast in Finland.
of all places, man. Big up Super Tilly, by the way, before we go, because he's one of our main listeners over there. And he DM'd me yesterday and was like, yeah, man, all them plugs to my DJs around Finland, it must have worked. So my man's been spreading the vibes, innit?
Yes,
so big up Super Tilly in Finland. My guy's a surty DJ as well.
Man, like Super Tilly.
He is not a £50 an hour DJ.
Sick. So that's what it is. Number one DJ podcast in the UK. Number one music commentary podcast in Finland. It's a Talk Over Pod. Double Stylo. We will be back again next week. See ya.
One love.